Wow, what it is awesome to be back together. I am so excited. Yeah, I heard that whoop. Thank you very much. It is incredible to be back together. So thank you for being here. I want to say a special word to those of you in the family room. Thank you so much for joining in there. And there are still people, I don't know if you know this or not, there are still people who are not here due to whatever reasons, as vulnerabilities and just different things like that. And so we want to say thank you for watching online and being a part of that with us. To you who are sitting in here, it is good to finally be speaking to a room that has people in it. Thank you for all that. I don't want you to be quiet. I do have a little, so if I have to kind of like wipe my nose or something like that, or you can get one and just kind of wave it to me. Listen, if you wave it to me like this, that means I'm going to keep on going, all right? It is an awesome thing to be back together again. Over the last several months, can you believe it's been 12 weeks? It's been 12 weeks since we gathered like this. This is incredible. And so I'm pumped to be back together. I'm thankful for technology. I'm thankful that we can watch. I'm thankful that through technology, even right now in the same building, we've got two family rooms again. So technology is good, but this is how the Lord has created us. He's created us to be together. He's created us to be up against one another like this. And even though we do have social distancing happening today, just being in the room, some of you have already told me as you were coming in how wonderful it felt to go, okay, I am going back to the place that the body gathers. And that is a blessing. I have a desire. The Lord doesn't always give me my desires, but I think this is a holy desire. I desire for us to be a big church, all right? And when I say I desire for us to be a big church, I want there to be a lot of people who find life in Jesus Christ, who actually go through these baptism waters here. This morning, we saw a patriarch of a family, a grandfather, who was baptized, and then his two grandsons were also baptized. We have a desire to see that happen. We want to see a lot of people come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I will say this, more than that though, you know what I desire? A healthy church. I want to see a healthy, vibrant body, people who love Jesus, people who want to walk with him, people who are serving, who are giving, who are being sent out and being the hands and feet of Jesus across our community and in this area. When trials come, you've heard the illustration before. When you put an orange under pressure, intense pressure, what should come out? Orange juice. You're not expecting like a tomato juice. You're not expecting apple juice. You're expecting what the fruit is. Well, listen, as a community of believers, we've been under some trial lately, haven't we? I mean, we've not been able to meet together. There's been all kinds of things going on. And I want to tell you that during these days, I want you to know, the Lord would say, you've been found faithful and you're healthy. People have not neglected meeting together online. I've heard stories of people making, in fact, our senior adults have been calling in on a conference call every week, picking up the phone, dialing, turning the rotary, I don't know, but they've been making the phone call. And they've been having their Bible study classes through conference call. You've been going and delivering food. You've been stepping in and helping people in times of need where they have, had great loss. And so with that, I'm thankful that we're a healthy body, and I want us to continue to grow in that way. Listen, as we grow in health, here's what I know. When people come in contact with people who are walking their faith out, they want to know, hey, what's different about you? Where are you finding life? Why is your life different? And then they'll come and be a part of that. You've heard the old phrase, it's a love-hate relationship, right? You've heard about having a love-hate relationship. Kind of like, I love Krispy Kreme donuts, but I hate the bagel I get after eating them, you know, it kind of develops up. Well, right now, I want to say this. My relationship with coronavirus is all hate. It really is. It's all hate. You know why? Because I hate the fact that for 12 weeks we've not been able to gather together. I hate for the fact that there have been people who've had to live in fear. I hate the fact that there are people who are without jobs today because of this. I hate that there are people who were ready to punch the clock of retirement, literally, and they've had to put it off. I hate that there are people who have been in hospitals and they've been without their loved ones. I hate that. Now, I will say, I'm hopeful that a year from now, our relationship status has changed and it's gone to at least a love-hate. All right, but right now it's all hate. We are starting a brand new series today, a brand new series called This Changes Everything. And my hope is that, you know, through the last several months as leadership, we've begun to see because of what we've been forced into. You know, Sir Isaac Newton's first law of thermodynamics says this, and some of you just perked up when you heard me say the thermal law of dynamics. The very first one, I want to read this to you because I need to get this correct. It says this: everything continues in a state of rest until it is compelled to change. Everything stays in a state of rest until it is compelled to change by forces on the outside that are impressed upon it. And you know what? I believe that Corona, COVID-19, is a force that's been pressed upon the church because we've been asleep. The church in general, I think, has been asleep for a long time. And what my prayer is that we look back a year from now and go, because of what happened during that 12-week, three-month period, everything changed. Everything changed. That's my prayer, and that's what I'm hopeful to look back. Right now, I'm not excited about what's happened, but I hope that all that makes a big difference. But here's the thing. For that to make a difference in the church, it's got to make a difference in us. My hope is that there are things that you've discovered and that you've seen. We have as a leadership team, and we're going to talk about those over the next 3-4 weeks, about some things that we've seen that we're hopeful makes big changes in the life of our community. The very first thing, if you're taking some notes, I hope that you are, in the family room, there are some kid prompts. You'll see them on the screen. We have those in the auditorium, except it looks like all the adults have them right now, and they're using them instead. So if you got your prompts, I'm kidding. That's a joke. They do have their big three around here, though, I see. The very first thing that I want you to write down is this. I want you to write down the importance of the gathering, because we want to talk about, I think, the importance of the gathering. Here's what we've discovered. Here's what I've heard from you. I didn't realize how important meeting with the body, meeting with the church was until it was removed and I could no longer do it. Have you ever found that with other things? You know, they say absence makes the heart grow fonder, especially in relationships. Well, I mean, we've not been able to gather together. And so I've heard many of you say, man, I have longed for it. Coming in the door, many of you were already saying, it is so good to be back. Yes, it is, dear. That would be a wave the hanky right there. That's what that would be, all right? It's hard for me to imagine, though, that, you know, there are people, and if you're not a follower of Jesus, this piece right here is not for you. All right? I want to speak to those of us right now who are followers of Jesus for just a second. It is hard for me to imagine that we who follow Jesus Christ, we've surrendered our life to him, we would say, I've submitted my life to you. I'm trusting that you, Jesus, are going to give me eternal life. I'm trusting in you, Jesus. In fact, your scripture even says that if I follow you, abundant life is present for me. I can experience that right now, today. That there are people all around the world, yet we undervalue, we underappreciate literally the gathering of the community, of coming together. You know, we just sang a song about being brothers and sisters, covenant brothers and sisters, the family of God. And yet It's a sad thing for me to think about that probably throughout this corona season, Sunday has been the least affected day for millions upon millions of people who will actually check the box, of the census form that comes, or you do it online. Listen, Monday through Friday, typically, I mean, for many people, they've been without a job, so you didn't go to work, or your work has sent you home, and you and your wife, or you've been working at home. So that whole thing has changed. For kids, I mean, we've not had sports. We've not had going to sports leagues. There's not been sports on TV for us to watch and participate in, unless you like 1975 Super Bowls or something along those lines. So you've not had that. The weekends, even the parks have been shut down. But you know what? For millions of people who name the name of Jesus, Sunday hasn't been any different. You roll over and go, oh, well, I'm home. Folks, that blows my mind that we would treat the gathering so minor, so base. Folks, listen, over these last several weeks, here's what I've continued to hear as I've called many of you, as we've met, and when I say met, I've seen you out and about in some places, maybe the grocery store or something, or we've talked about it. People have said, I am dying to get back. I want to see the community. Now listen, I know that today there are some people who are unable to be here because of their vulnerabilities. But listen, what we want to see, what I want to encourage you in is this, is that when we have the opportunity to be here, that's what we're called to do. Maybe you've heard a popular saying that goes around today. Listen, I don't have to go to church. I'm going to be the church. Listen, you don't have to go to church. Be the church. Well, that sounds really good if by that someone means this. Don't just make Sunday morning it. It's Christianity, us following Jesus, is about more than just Sunday. It goes beyond Sunday. But I think what ends up happening is people begin to use that little mantra, and they use it from the standpoint that I don't have to go to church. I am the church. I can be the church right here. Sounds really good, but it's wrong. I mean, it's wrong. You know why it's wrong? Because I am not the church. You are not the church. See, church is not an individual sport. Church is us. We are the church. And for the church, we have to gather together. We have to be together. So first off, it sounds good, but it's not right. We have to be together. Second of all, in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus told Peter and the disciples who were gathered, he said this. He said, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. There's nothing that's going to be able to overcome it. So Jesus set it up, and if Jesus set it up, and he loved it so much, he started it, he called it his bride, it should mean something to us that we want to be there and be a part of it. Hebrews chapter 10. Open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, if you don't mind. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Many of you are going to go, oh yeah, I know that verse, I've heard that. Hebrews 24 through 25 says this, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Not stir up myself, but let us stir up one another together. Let us stir up one another. Verse 25 says this, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some. Not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as we see the day drawing near. Now, obviously, this was written a long, long time ago. In fact, Hebrews was probably written somewhere between around 30 years after Jesus had risen from the grave and had ascended back. So 30 years after the church had started, there's already people going, I'm out. I don't have to go. I don't need to do it. I can just kind of lay around. And the writer of Hebrews says, no, listen, we have to stir one another up. We need to be together. So you see, it's not something new. It's not something new. It's something that even they dealt with So it shouldn't be surprised. I want you to hear this. All the heresies of today, they all started back in the very first century. It's just a new version of them. Today, the things that we deal with, they dealt with in the early days of the New Testament. It just looks different. And I'm going to tell you, if you ain't got an idea about this, I'm thankful for technology. But I want you to hear this. Getting on Sunday morning or Monday and looking for your favorite pastor and preacher does not mean you're committed to the church. I'm thankful that we have that opportunity. I'm thankful that there will be people tomorrow morning who log on, who get on Facebook, they check out LifePoint Riverdale, and they get to see what we're doing. But we want to gather together as the body, and we've come to realize even more so how important the gathering is, because we need this. This brings life. This brings vibrancy to who we are as individuals and as a body. Recently, Pastor Craig Groeschel, he's kind of what might be called the father of the online church, okay? He wrote this, and I want to read it because I think it really applies. I think it's so applicable. He wrote this in very recent days of COVID. Here's what he said. He said, the church can't be reduced to a virtual experience. He said, the church can't be reduced to a virtual experience. It's not just listening to a message. It's community. It's serving each other. It's serving with each other. It's worshiping with each other. It's praying with each other and for each other. It's crying. It's laughing. It's celebrating when people make spiritual milestones and they walk through baptism waters. That is so important that we do as a community. The Bible, all throughout Scripture, the Scripture reveals that the tradition is, the pattern, not just the tradition, the pattern is that those who surrender their lives to Christ, those who say, listen, I follow the way of Jesus, we meet together. We sing together. We walk in each other's lives. We give commonly together so that we can then be sent out together. You see, the gathering is that important. And so often, it's like saying, listen, yeah, I know mom and dad, they're having dinner. They're having Thanksgiving, but I don't need it. And I don't need it. And it just keeps going until at some point you wonder, okay, are they part of the family or are they not a part of the family? Listen, as a gathering, and I'm hearing this out of you, and I want you to hear this. I see you in this room. Those of you, I've already been through the family rooms. This is important to you. And my hope and desire through these days is that you've recognized and you've gone, the gathering's important. And I want to be a part. And hopefully this has shaped us, and it will continue to shape us so that we even more will be committed to the body of Christ. I said this a few minutes ago. Jesus said that the church was his bride. And we're called to love what Jesus loves. Now, if I invite you to my house to have dinner with me and my wife, and you say, I really want to come to your house and I really want to have dinner with you, not so much your wife. You're probably not coming to my house. That's like saying, you know, I love Jesus, but I don't need the church. No, listen, the bride of Christ, we, the church. And so we need to be together as the body, as the body. It's that important. Corona shut us down for 12 weeks, but we're back. We're coming back. And my hope is that a year from now, we're going to look back on this and go, man, our commitment to the gathering is so strong. I'm thankful. I didn't see it in that day. I hated what it did, but I love it today for what has changed in our family. What's changed in our family? Families, I want to say this to you, whether you're in the family room or you're here, the question should never be from our kids. Are we going to church today? You know what the question should be? What do you mean we're not going to church today? I have an acquaintance who's on the interwebs, he's on the Twitters, and he posts the exact same tweet every Saturday afternoon. Every Saturday afternoon, he posts the exact same thing. And it's this: Sunday morning church is a Saturday night decision. Sunday morning church is a Saturday night decision. And I pray that we look back and go, man, my priorities about being with the body. Now, granted, there's going to be people who are away on vacation. You're going to be sick or ill at some point. You're going to be providentially hindered. But what I don't want for us as a body, what if on Sunday morning I rolled over and went, no, I think I'm just going to hang out tonight. I'm not going over. I'm not going in there this morning. Listen, we need to be together as family. The second thing is this, I want you to write it down, is not only is the gathering, us being gathered together, but also the scattering. The scattering of the body is very, very important. Folks, it's impossible to overstate the church gathering. It's very important. It shows that we love the bride, but it's also impossible to overstate the importance of the body, us, we, the church, scattering to go do the mission of God. That's why when you leave out of these parking lots on Sunday, you see a sign as you're leaving, live sent. Living, not live sin, live sent. We want you to live sent into this community. Take the message of Jesus Christ with you wherever you go. We call ourselves a sending church because we're sending each and every one of us out of this place every week, every day to take the name of Jesus, whether it's across the street, to the bank, to your work, in your home. We're called to go live scattered lives. Listen, we must come to church, but then we have to go as his followers, and this is where we be the church. We come, we go, and we be the body of Christ in the community. Look with me in John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 21. John 20, 21 says this. John's writing, and he says, Jesus said to them again, he's speaking to his disciples, he said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Jesus sent his disciples to go make more disciples. Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission begins with go. Go, make disciples. If you were to turn a page or two, the very next thing you're going to hit is Acts. Acts chapter 1, Jesus commissions them again. Acts chapter 2, he says, why don't you just stay here in Jerusalem? The Holy Spirit's going to come. Then what's going to happen is you're going to go be my disciples in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Acts chapter 2, Peter stands up to preach at Pentecost, and 3,000 people surrender their lives to Jesus Christ, and the church is born. Acts 4, 5, and 6 begin the very early days, and the scripture tells, probably by about Acts chapter 6, there's somewhere around 20 to 30,000 new believers in Jerusalem following Jesus Christ. A trouble arose because there were some women, some widows, they were Grecian and Jewish, Greek and Jewish. The food distribution wasn't going well, so the apostles brought people together and they chose deacons. Week three of this, hang with me, you're gonna hear talk about more deacons. They chose deacons. Acts chapter 7, one of the very first deacons named Stephen, the church is going crazy. He stands up to preach to the people. The religious leaders grab him, take him out, and they stone him. He's the very first martyr. Acts chapter 8, pick up with me. Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, says this. And there arose on that day a great persecution, the day he was martyred. There arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul, who would later become Paul after he'd surrendered his life to Christ, but Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Verse 4, now those who were scattered, went about preaching the word. What word? The word of Jesus. Listen, Jesus said, listen, you hang tight here in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit's going to come. You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea. He sends a persecution. He sends a scourge on the land, a persecution, and they are all scattered. I imagine those new believers said, what's happened? We met last week. We're not meeting this week. When will we be back gathered together? Sounds very familiar, doesn't it? But here's what we know when you read that passage. The scripture says that they were scattered and they took the word of God with them wherever they went. They preached the word. That's what we do. That's what we are called to be, living sent. When we leave this place, we scatter. We scatter into neighborhoods. We scatter into ball fields. We scatter into grocery stores, and we take the word of God with us. We are scattered about. What I have heard over this time is how you've done that. I have heard how you've done that. See, these things show we've been under trial, and what I have seen is that we are a healthy body. I want to encourage you in that. You're meeting needs. You're meeting with the body as much as you can. You've continued to give. You've continued to worship online. So you may be saying, well, then why are we talking about this? Because today is day one. Have you ever started a diet and look back 3 weeks later and what diet? Have you ever tried to begin a new habit, a new way of doing things, and you come out of the gate strong because you sense how important it is, but then you look back and go, what system? What job? What commitment? You see, folks, my hope, my prayer, my desire for us as a body of believers is that we go, we've got to be together. That's the family. I want to be there as I can. I want to be there as much as I can. I want to gather with my people. Yet also, though, when I go, Lord, help me to redouble my efforts and talk to the person that's across the street from me. Help me to be the man or the woman of God in my home, because there are people in my home. Children, there may be, you may have parents, and they don't even recognize it, but you're the one who is leading them to Christ. Parents, some of you may be leading your parents to Christ in these days. And I want you to know this, all of us are pointing people somewhere. This is why living sent, being scattered, is so important to us as a church. Why? Because we live in a sin-sick world today. And if not us, then who? You see, this is what Jesus has called us to. He's called us to be this type of people. My hope and desire is that being a part of the body is like breathing in and breathing out. I would imagine in this room today, there haven't been many of you who have thought about your breathing patterns. You've just breathed. You know why? Because it's involuntary. Your body just does that. When it's no longer involuntary, there's a problem, right? Listen, that's a picture of the church. We come and we gather and we breathe in worship, the word, the giving, the encouragement, and then we breathe out and we scatter to go be the light of Christ and live sent across the community. That's my prayer, is that the coming and the going, the gathering and the scattering, we don't think about it. It's just life. As a believer, that's what we do. That's who we're called to be. Listen, we're thankful we have a Christian community that we can gather, brothers and sisters that we can come and gather with who are going to give us encouragement so that when we scatter again, we've been built up to go another week. And I don't know about you, but I need the family. I need the family who will pray for me. My family, we've never lived around family. At the age of 23, 24, we loaded up a Ford Escort with everything we had, and we drove across the country, halfway across the country. We were in Texas. We went to Florida. And we never moved back. And do you know who mamas and daddies and grandparents and uncles and aunts were? You. The body. The body. And there are some of you in here today, you've surrendered your life to Christ, and when you did that, your family turned you out. And if it weren't for the body, you'd be all alone. And you see, I don't think we think about those things. Folks, listen, Christ has called us. He has saved us. And we should gather with brothers and sisters, with family. But then be scattered to go and live out the family name. Go live out the family name. What does that look like? Quickly, a couple of application points here. What does that look like? I'm going to be really base. I mean, this is bottom shelf stuff here. First and foremost, we need to make a commitment for our family's sake that we're going to be with the body whenever it's possible. Well, how do I keep that commitment? Well, I'm going to tell you, and this is where it's just really base. I'd schedule it. Put it on your calendars, wherever it is, because that way, if you're not going to be here, you've got to physically remove it off the calendar because I'm not going to be there. I always tell, you know, for me, I'm concrete in some things. So if I'm trying to remember to do something tomorrow, you know what I do? I lay out little clues and hints that I've literally got to trip over so I don't forget to do it. And if I don't do it, it's because I chose not to do it. Folks, listen, schedule that thing in. Hey, I'm going to let you in on a little notice here. You can pull your phone out if you would like, family room and in here. Did you realize you can register right now for next week? So family room, if you're wanting in the auditorium, schedule it right now, all right? Folks, schedule. Be here now. Now, say, I'm going to be there next week. It's that important. Talk about it as a family. Model it, mom and dad. What does it look like then for us to live scattered? How do we do that? How do we live scattered? Well, first and foremost, I think that's more difficult if you're distant from the family. As you become more connected and committed, all of us, to the gathering, it makes it easier as we go because we're encouraged, we're motivated, we've got people behind us who are cheering us on. We're going across the street. I spoke to someone just a little while ago, first service and second service, about during this time frame that we've been in serving people. If you went out to our app right now or the online, on the very front page of the app and on the website, there's a place that says for the community, for the community. If you click on that, there are two buttons that come up. I need help. I can help. I would encourage all of you, register and tell us what you can do because we have so many needs that are coming in that we can connect you and you can begin to live sent immediately as the body. Traveling around the world in that aspect of living sent, it's not gone away, but it is greatly diminished. But we, Life Point Riverdale, there is a family here named the Kasanovics, Rick and Amy. They lead a ministry. They lead a ministry called First Friends. And it's two international students at MTSU. MTSU has the largest amount of international students in the state of Tennessee of all the universities. The world's here. We have an opportunity to invest. We have a family here named Ruth and Carl and Ruth Myers. Ruth leads a ministry called Shepherd's Closet, specifically designed for the foster care system. For people, if someone receives a foster child in the middle of the night and they don't have clothes, they don't have bedding, they don't have whatever it is they need, that closet is about the size of this room when you add them all up. There's like 5 or 6 storage units. She runs that. She's always in need of people to come and help sort, clean, volunteer, bring gently used things that could be turned around and given back to people who are in need. Folks, there are opportunities. They're all on the website. I encourage you, I'm asking you, be a part of the body, the gathering and the scattering. Today, maybe you want to know more about what it means to be a part of that. You're saying, man, I've been away and I've realized how much I need to be here. On the screen, there's a number that's going to come up. And I'm going to encourage you to do a couple of things. We're in the age of COVID, so it looks a little differently. I will be outside if you'd like to talk to me personally. But if you would like to know more about surrendering your life to Jesus Christ, would you just text Jesus to that number? Someone will be in contact with you today. Today. Because it's that important. You say, man, I want to get connected into this body somehow. I want to know more about that. If you'll text connect to that number. Some of you may have a prayer request. Text pray. And when you do that, what it does is it begins a conversation. It literally begins a conversation so that we know how we can help and walk with you. It means that much to us. So I'm going to ask you to begin to make those steps. Folks, it is awesome to see you. It's awesome to be in a room together. And so this afternoon, as you're leaving, I'm going to be out in the foyer, out in the parking lot. I want to wave, say hey. I want to be able to see you. It is good. Whether you're in the family room or you're in here right now, I'm going to ask us to take a moment, and I want to pray for us. Let's pray together. Father, I love you. I thank you for the opportunity that you give us, God, to be here today. Father, I ask that in these moments that you would make us the people you desire us to be. God, I am praying that everything changes after what we've experienced. I'm asking you, God, would you keep us close to you as a body? Father, I'm asking that you right now would open the eyes of people who need you as Lord and Savior. Holy Spirit, will you draw them to Jesus? I pray right now that if there is someone in here who doesn't know you, Jesus, that you would help them to text into that number or come see me. Talk to someone in the family rooms. Jesus, we honor you. We worship you. You matter the most to us. May we magnify you today. And it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to sing together. We're going to, if you may, on the way out, you can give your offerings when Zion releases us. But I'm going to ask you, you respond. You ask the Spirit to speak to you and do the business that the Holy Spirit leads you to. Zion.